Constance, written by Rosie Thomas and read by Eva Haddon.
London, June 1963. The boy and the girl were both just 16. It was nearly 10 o'clock, which meant that they would soon have to separate for a night and a whole day. They crept down the empty street with their arms twined, he shortening his step to match hers, and she resting her head on his shoulder. The overhanging plane trees made a tunnel of the pavement. The gardens on either side were dark recesses of rustling leaves, the territory of prowling cats, and maybe a rat invading a dustbin. Under one of the trees, the boy stopped walking. He hooked his arms round the girl's shoulders and kissed her for the 100th time. Her mouth felt bruised, but she kissed him back. His hands moved down to cover her breasts.
"Mikey, I love you," he protested.
His knee rubbed between her thighs, and he heard the soft, enticing rasp her nylons made against her jeans.
"Mikey, my dad said 10 o'clock. You heard him." "We've got 10 minutes, then."
He raised his head and glanced about. There was no one to be seen. This was a quiet road with only a few parked cars and tall hedges screening the bay windows of the houses. Turn left at the end, and he reckoned it was a couple of minutes' walk to Kathy's house, if you ran. He steered her towards the nearest gate. It stood open, and a tiled path of coloured triangles and diamonds gleamed faintly in the darkness. No light showed behind the glass door panels, or in any of the windows.
"Mike, we can't," she murmured.
But she came with him anyway. Behind the head, she pressed her mouth against his, teasing him with a sly curve of her smile. He answered by stroking his hand upwards from her knee. High up, his fingers met the smooth bulge of soft, bare flesh above the stocking top. They pressed into the vertical mattress of leaves, breathing into each other's mouths, their tongues busy. The powerful, coarsely sweet smell of privet blossom flooded around them. At first, he thought the sound was a cat among the dustbins. It was a high-pitched cry, somewhere between a bleat and a howl. It stopped, and then started again. Kathy moved her head sideways. Her sweet spit smeared his lips.
"What's that?"
she breathed.
"Some old cat."
The cry came again.
"It's not. Listen, it sounds just like a baby." "Don't be soft. Come back here." "Leave off. Where is it?"
She stooped down, her oval face and her pale cardigan a conjoined blur against the blackness. She pushed aside the lowest branches of the hedge and felt along the margin of dead leaves and blown litter underneath.
"My God!"
Her voice turned high and sharp. "Shh," he warned. Kathy rocked back, almost tipping over her heels. She was lifting a bag in her two hands, a bag like the one his mother took to go to the shops, made of brown plastic that was supposed to be leather, with a zip and two upright looped handles. The mouth of the bag gaped open, and the cat's cry was much louder.
"Look at this!"
He knelt beside her as she dipped her hands inside. He could smell dusty earth as well as privet.
"Look," she breathed.
She was holding a small bundle of blanket. Between them, they turned the folds aside and touched the baby's tiny head. It was streaked with dark patches and waxy white stuff. Its mouth was open and its eyes screwed shut. Now that they saw it really was a baby, its crying sounded weak and nearly hopeless. Mike was amazed.
"What's someone's baby doing out here?"
With the baby cradled against her, Kathy glanced up at him. She looked serious and wise, and suddenly much older than a mere minute ago.